This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Just going to read from Psalm 108. It's actually in your, or part of it is in your notice sheets. Got a couple of scriptures there. God's really been speaking to us as a church. Several things to think about. I was talking with Karen the other day, and just talking, and others as well, that about how God has been speaking to us. And the things I realise in our, that the pace of life nowadays is so quick, isn't it? That, I don't know about you, but I think, you know, when something became news, you'd have it in your mind, I don't know, for at least 2-3 weeks, wouldn't you? Some big event in the world, it might be out there in front of you for at least a month. But now, it's almost daily that there's the new next greatest thing or drama or whatever it is. And look at television shows and like singing shows and The Voice and those sort of things. And the language that's used, it's so over-the-top kind of language that this is the greatest thing that has ever happened. There's a voice, somebody singing. You know, outstanding. What are some of the words we're marvelling over? Awesome, outstanding. These words are just all out there and they mean nothing anymore, really. The way they're used, and like news, you'd have something in the foreground for a considerable time. But now it's almost, if something lasts a week, that's amazing today. If it lasts a week, and then there's got to be the next greatest thing or the next headlines, and we've forgotten what's happened before. Do you know God has been speaking to us as a church? And I wonder, are we forgetting just as quickly what he's saying to us? Psalm 108, I just want to read this. Psalm 108 and verse 7. Just the first part of it. God has spoken in his holiness, I will rejoice. Do you know God has spoken to us? The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him. Jesus Christ is the Word. It says in Hebrews 1 that God, who in times past spoke to us by the prophets through the law, has in these last days spoken to us through his Son. I think we need to read that. Hebrews chapter 1. I want us to look at this and realize how God has been speaking to us. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us. He's spoken to every single one of us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. God has spoken to us by his Son. Remember this old song I used to sing? You know, God has spoken to his people, hallelujah. And his words are words of wisdom, hallelujah. You know, and the excitement of hearing God speak to you and tell you something that's true. And let me think about, you know, if somebody in a high position or that you hold in great respect said something to you that was good news, you'd remember it, wouldn't you? If somebody said, who was very wealthy, told you that he had all these riches for you, you probably wouldn't forget that. Well, the riches of this world are all going to pass away. But the riches that we have in Christ Jesus are never going to pass away. They are eternal. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every single one. In fact, Jesus is the heir of all things. He's appointed the heir of all things. And what does the Bible say? It says that we are co-heirs with him. I mean, can we even begin to grasp that? Is it just a word that's sort of gone straight over? We're to lay a hold of it. God doesn't speak for no purpose. He speaks, and there's a reason for every single word that he's spoken. But he's spoken to us. He hasn't spoken to angels. He hasn't spoken just to great people who deserve it, because there is none really anyway. But he's spoken to every single one. He's spoken to the fallen race of Adam. That's you and me, every single person. And he's spoken incredible words in Christ Jesus. And we can just let him float over. Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about that. Oh, what a tragedy. What a tragedy to be a people who know all about it but have never laid a hold of it, never got a hold of it in our life. Wow. You read the whole book of Hebrews, and that book is talking to us. It says, today, if we will hear his voice, not to harden our hearts. And then it uses Israel as an example, that God spoke to them as a people. Remember, God in times past spoke to our fathers by the prophets, gave them incredible promises. He was going to deliver them. You know, when I read the story of Israel, where he sent Moses, the prophet, and he sent Moses to them, he said, I've heard your cries, I've heard your groaning, I've seen your affliction, I've seen the trouble that you're in, and I've heard you. And the people, oh, they just worship. Somebody actually cares about us. Incredibly good news. And I think that's the state with every single one of us. When we got saved, we hear that God cares about us, that he so loved us that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him. And we're just blown away that God cares for us. Well, Moses spoke that to the children of Israel, and they worshipped. Oh, thank you, God. You know, but then he began to tell them some more stuff. He began to tell them that God was going to take them out of that bondage. He was going to deliver them in an incredibly mighty way. He was going to take them to another land where there were houses, there were buildings there, there were vineyards there, there were fields of all the food and everything, and the whole land was watered by God by rain from heaven. And when he told them that, the Bible says that they couldn't hear what he was saying because of cruel bondage and anguish of spirit. They couldn't hear him. They're so conditioned by the situation that they're in. So God did it all. He poured out his judgments on all of Egypt, and he set them free, and they did nothing to earn it. They did nothing to bring it about except to be recipients of it. Isn't that salvation? We've heard that already. What, you know, it says in Hebrews that those people, he brought them out and he was going to take them into the promised land. And the whole idea of bringing them out of Egypt, out of a world system, if you like. He's done that to us. He's brought us out of a world system which is continually, it's like dog eat dog, every man for himself, got to get to the top of the heap. He's brought us into a totally different system where it's not everybody trying to do the best he can. and try to get to the top of the heap, but we're all in slaves, we're all in bondage. He brought them out of that so that they could absolutely know that God cares about every area of their lives, and he's going to meet every need that they would have, that they wouldn't have to worry about what they're going to eat. They're not going to have to worry about what they're going to drink. They're not going to have to worry about what they're going to put on. You know, the Bible says their shoes never wore out for 40 years. That's a good pair of shoes. Their shoes never wore out for 40 years. And their clothing. God... In other words, there was supernatural provision, food, drink. But what were the main things they were worried about? All of those things. They never learnt what God brought them into that wilderness, brought them into a place where there was seemingly no provision. How many have come to church and felt, this is not where my provision's going to get met? What a bunch of weak people. What a bunch of no-hopers. Look amongst yourselves, brethren. Not many weak, not many noble, I should say. Not many mighty. God calls the weak. Why? So that no flesh is going to glory in his sight. Nobody's going to say, well, I did it my way. But it's God who does it. And that was why he brought them into that place, a wilderness where there was nothing. But God was there. How many... You start to realize that the area of seeming lack that God's going to bring you into in your life, he does that for a purpose. He said, you will remember all the ways that I led you in this wilderness. Deuteronomy 8, you're going to remember. I allowed you to lack. I allowed you to thirst. I allowed you to hunger that you might learn something, that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that is currently proceeding from the mouth of God. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack. That's what he's trying to create in us. That we can go through no matter what it is. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So how many of you are in a hard place right now? Well, praise God. We've heard this morning, start to praise. He wants a different spirit in here. Not that spirit of crushed anguish and hopelessness so that they couldn't hear the good news. He had to get that out of them. You know, it says that Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit in them. So that when it came to the time of laying hold of the promises of God, they could do it. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain, Caleb said. Because it wasn't about him and his strength. It was about who was with him. He learnt through that wilderness experience that God is with me as a mighty, awesome one. God is for us. God is with us. God has spoken to us in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. Why are you cast down, oh, my soul? I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I know where I'm going to look. That's where we're looking. We're looking to one who has said that he is at work in us, both to will and to do. He has put a different spirit in us. What spirit is that? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in us. He has raised us up and made us sit together with him in the heavenly places. Well, I'm going to stay there. That's a good place. So he's speaking to us as a church. Not to let what he's saying just go over the top and say, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. The Pharisees knew everything, but they never got a hold of it. They had the keys of the kingdom, Jesus told them, but they wouldn't go in and they wouldn't allow anybody else to go in either because they saw them as a threat. We have the keys of the kingdom. How awesome is this place? I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you, every single one of you. When I come into this place, it's wherever we gather together in his name, he is here in the midst of us. We've been hearing from God. I don't know whether you, that there's a shout of a king in this place. How long ago was that we heard that? There was a prophetic word. There's a shout of a king in this house. Wow. There's a shout of a king. I'll tell you what, that's not a shout of defeat. That's a shout of victory. Hallelujah. He has spoken to us through his Son. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive in us. 2 Corinthians 1. Paul is talking to the Corinthians. He says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen to the glory of God." How many people here, we've heard it already again this morning, are in him? I'm in him. Who did that? Did you do it? Did you earn the right to be in him? No, you believed. I believe in Jesus. He came and died for me when I was helpless. In fact, I was his enemy when he died for me. He died for me and he rose again from the dead for me. And I've been baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as he rose from the dead by the glory of the Father, I rose with him. And you rose. And that means you are in him. And the Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in him to the glory of God. God's been telling us that we're in a strategic time right now. The ends of the world are resting on us. We're in the last day. We're in the last day. It's just about to tick over. There was a prophetic word just recently, and I think we'll put it in the notice sheet a couple of times, that God said that we're in the last days, and that we had the example of the 10 virgins. Remember, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. What made the difference? 5 had their lamps, their lights were burning, but they didn't have extra oil. 5 were wise, the Bible says, and they had extra oil in their lamps. And what was it? It was right at the midnight hour, the cry came out, "The bridegroom's here." Look, I remember thinking about when the children of Israel were gathering manna. Remember, every day God miraculously rained manna from heaven. It settled like dew on the ground, and it was like this wafer, thin wafer. When they had no food, he miraculously provided. Every day they were to go out and gather what they needed. And the Bible says that on the sixth day, they were to gather twice as much. Remember that? Do you realize we're in the sixth day? We're right at the end. We're in the day of the Lord is just about here. But right now we're in a day when we can gather twice as much. I mean, doesn't it make sense? You look at history. I read history of the church, and you look at stories of Christians that had very little, that were willing to give their lives so that the truth of this word would not be obscured or taken away. They were willing to lay down their life to declare to people that it's justification by faith. They're ready to give their lives for that. They had very little. They gathered, as it were, little, But we're in the day when we're told to gather twice as much. So those five wise virgins, they had oil in vessels. They gathered twice as much because they're ready for that day when he comes back. Are we going to be ready for that day when he comes back? It's always darkest right before the break of dawn. Is that right? Well, the Bible says we're in the time that we're to arise and shine, for our light has come. We are light in the Lord. We are the light of the world. We're in the time when God is going to trim the wicks on his church. That's you and me. He's going to trim the wicks so that we burn brighter. He said, "Behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness of people, but the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will be seen upon you." I don't want to be in this time and not have enough oil in my vessel so that my lamp goes out, because it will. The Bible doesn't speak words for nothing. Every word that God has spoken is true. So all the promises of God are yes and amen in him to the glory of God. In the book of Numbers, we read a story of Israel. They're coming through the wilderness and a particular nation, Moab, are feeling threatened by them, and a king by the name of Balak, he goes and tries to hire a man by the name of Balaam. I call him a false prophet. But this man, whoever he blessed was blessed, and whoever he cursed was cursed. So Balak, the king of Moab, was threatened by Israel, and so he calls him. He says, "Come to me." Gave him the promise of riches, and he says, "I want you to curse this people for me." That's Israel. And so he calls Balak, and there's a lot of dealings going on where God has to deal with Balaam. Sorry, he called Balaam, and he had to deal with Balaam. Maybe he even used a donkey to try to speak to this man. He was so thick. He had power. He knew how to pray. He knew how to do all those things, but he had a love of the world. He wanted riches, and that's why he's going to do it. And he was doing his best, even though God stopped him at every point. In the end, God has to speak to Balaam, and he gives him this word: God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. In other words, go back on what he said. Having said, and shall he not do it? Having spoken, shall he not make it good? God is going to fulfill his word in his church, in you and in me, as we believe it and begin to rejoice. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. You know, there's two things that are going to happen. You know, the hearts of men are going to fail for the things that are coming on the earth today. They're going to fail them. But we are not those. When we see these things happen, the Bible says we'll look up. Because we know it. All it is pointers to our redemption drawing nigh. When you see these things begin to happen, wars, rumours of wars, all these things, he said, look up, because your redemption's drawing nigh. We're getting more and more excited. You know, it's time for us to put on, we heard it, that garment. Where'd we put on those royal robes? Come on, put them on. Put on the garment of praise. He's given it for the spirit of heaviness. Put it on. Put it on. Get dressed. I'm speaking that. Get up. Get dressed. You need to be prepared. Well, God has given us everything so that we can be prepared. We've also been hearing, I'm just going to finish with this. Yeah, we'll have to. That we're to really hear the word of God, to get into the word of God, to meditate in this word. Haven't we been hearing that through the preaching? Adam, one morning there, preached it. Karen's preached it. Really get into this word. It's his will and his testament. Think about this. If I was at some reading of the will and the person wasn't my relative, Well, there's not going to be anything in it for me. Oh, I doubt it. So it's going to be a very boring time for me to hear somebody's will being read out. But I tell you what, if that was a rich uncle of mine who I knew loved me particularly, I made great pains to make sure he loved me particularly, and I was at the reading of the will, and I knew he was a very wealthy man, I'd be hanging on every word. Make sure I didn't miss anything. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He is the heir. Jesus is the heir of all things. All power, all authority is given in his name. And we are co-heirs with him. Isn't that incredible? Doesn't that make reading his will, his testament? God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I'm just going to finish. And then when you read the rest of that, let me find it, Psalm 108. When you read the rest of that, Psalm 108, God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manassas is mine. Ephraim also is a helmet for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. Over Philistia I will triumph. What's that? That's King David. What's he saying? God, you promised me all of this land. And he's starting to speak by faith. There's a different spirit coming out of it. There's a shout of a king in his midst. He's starting to declare because he's heard what God has said. And instead of just letting it go straight over his head, he said, oh, yeah, I know all about that. I've heard that. I've heard that preached in so many wonderful ways. I don't care how many wonderful ways you've heard about it. God's just looking for somebody who's going to take his word and believe him and know that it's God. No matter what the vessel he used, whether they were stumbling over every word or whether they just spoke with incredible eloquence so that tingles were going up and down your spine, you recognize rather it's God that's spoken to us. God has spoken to us. I will rejoice. And then that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will come out of our mouth and will say like Caleb, give me this mountain. You've given me Philistia. You've given me all the land. I'm going to take possession of everything you have promised me because, God, you are not a man that you should lie. If I want to leave you with something right now, I would tell you to rejoice in the Lord always. We're in the hour when we need to start rejoicing. We need to start lifting up our head because our redemption's drawing nigh, and we need to lay hold of everything that Christ has given us through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We've got to lay hold of that because every promise in him is yes and amen. So whatever your circumstance and situation is, maybe you're in a wilderness, maybe you're in a place where it seems the provision is not there. Maybe you're looking in the wrong direction because it comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. Allow the Spirit of God to lift you up and to open your eyes to see the provision. One more story. Hagar. Remember Hagar, Abraham's second wife? The mistake he made? She has a son and Sarah eventually has a son and says, cast out the bondwoman and her son. Pretty tough. What a job. I fancy doing that. So Abraham puts a water pot on her shoulder, maybe a bit of food, and off you go, dearie. And a little son, Ishmael, he's only a little boy, off into the wilderness. You're on your own now. Sends him out. You know what happened to her? That she goes out, they use up all the water, and she thinks he's going to die. Puts her son under a bush, and she goes, I don't know, a couple of hundred metres away because she didn't want to see him die. And she lifts up her voice and just sobs, weeps, absolute hopelessness. And I was amazed. And the boy's crying. But he's not crying in hopelessness. He's crying because he's thirsty. He's crying because he's hungry. And God comes to Hagar and says, "What's the matter, Hagar? What's the matter with you?" And she tells him the whole sob story. But you know what? God heard the voice of the child. Didn't hear Hagar's, "Poor me, I'm hopeless, I'm nobody, I can't do anything, everything's going wrong, I'm going to eat worms." Didn't hear her voice, heard the voice of the child. It's time to seek the Lord until he comes and reigns righteousness. Seek him while he may be found, call upon him while he's near. Can we stand up, please? Hallelujah. A different spirit. This is a house of prayer. And whatever things we ask for, believing, we shall receive. If you have any need in your life and you're in a maybe wilderness position, praise God, you're going to see the provision of God. You're going to see his hand at work. If that's you and you want prayer, want somebody to agree with you, I'm not going to agree with your misery. I'm not going to, I can sympathize, but I'm not going to agree with unbelief. I'm not going to agree with doubt. I'm going to agree with faith. Any two of us can agree touching anything, it shall be done, because God is not a man. He has spoken. Every need that you have is covered. He's already spoken it. In the beginning, God spoke the word, "Let there be light." The entrance of his word brings light. That's why we've got to study this, because every promise in here is yes and amen. Whatever your circumstance, whatever your need, it's already met. And you need to rejoice. You need to find it and rejoice over it. So if you need prayer, please come up and we'll pray with you. And if you can stay and pray, please do. If you need to go out, do that. But don't talk in here while we're praying for people. But you're welcome to do that out there. But if you're staying, please pray for us. Father, I thank you that you sent your word. Lord, you are not a man that you should lie. Everything you have spoken, you will do. You will make it good. And all to your glory in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that every heart would be lifted up, Lord, as we lift our eyes to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you that what you have started, you are well able to complete in each one of our lives. I pray that no one would be discouraged, no one would be downhearted, but rather each one of us, Lord, would be strengthened in faith, giving glory to you, even as Abraham did. And I pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Thank you, Lord, for this day that we're in, that we won't, Lord, miss any opportunity, Lord, to do the works that you've already planned and prepared for every one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.